Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 14th of April 2010. And joining me on this edition of the show is Juz, as always, but not Craig. He is out in Orlando. He's too busy gadding about Orlando to come and join us and doesn't have a very good internet connection as well. But Juz will join me, as I've said, and we are going to be bringing you the usual news and rumours as we do at the beginning of every show, and also a holiday comparison section as part of that. Looking at what we looked at a few months ago, the Doing Disney DIY, and I've got a bit of experience from that recently we want to share with you. Then we're going to be going back around the world in 80 segments, and on this edition we are going to be looking at Liberty Square. We'll be looking at the rides, the shows, the attractions, the shopping and the dining that you can find within Liberty Square. And that's really about it. That is the show. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours section of the show, where, as always, Juz is joining me. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Disney Pop people. Hiya, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Craig.
Oh, Craig's not here. Oh, the listeners already know Craig's not here. I've told him in the introduction. But Craig isn't here, but he has left us a voicemail, which is really kind of him. So we'll play his voicemail. Craig's left us a voicemail.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Jazz. Hello, all those Disney Pod people. It's Craig here, just calling in from Orlando. My sincere apologies that I'm not on the show with you guys this week, but I've got a bit of an internet disaster over here and no real connection to kind of call you up. So I'm having to revert to the old-fashioned dialing in a voicemail and saying hello. But to let you all know, the weather is fantastic over here. I'm just currently talking to you from outside of my lanai. Kieran and I are out here while Debs and Alex have just gone next door to say hello. We've got a surprise coming up to tell you about that we're doing something in the week really, really interesting with our friends and neighbours next door. But I just wanted to say hello, and apologies I'm not there to stick up for you, Adam, when Juz is picking on you, and for you, Juz, not to sort you out when Adam's being a bit of an idiot and all smug. So I can't be the referee this week. I probably could have been to Wembley, though, because I understand that my beloved Tottenham got hammered by Portsmouth, so I'm not happy about that. But I'll let you go and let you get on with the show. Have a fantastic time, guys, and I'll speak to you all real soon. Sladers.
There I go. Craig, thank you for your lovely voicemail. You know, we're so pleased that you're enjoying yourself in Orlando and stuff.
Can I just say, if I have to see another one of Craig's Facebook update statuses about, I am walking, it is sunny, I'm going to see white alligators, you know.
White alligators are evil, I think, yeah. We've won today.
It's just the fact he's got about 200 comments for everyone he does. He's like Mr. Popular at the moment.
It's like, whatever. He must be costing a fortune in his phone bill. Right, should we do some news and rumours?
Yay.
Okay, right, let's start off over at the Disney Cruise Line. Are you going to start us off?
I might as well, because Craig isn't here, so
yeah,
I'll do my best in it. In it.
In it, status.
Is it the hammers? Come on, yammers. shine your shoes, governor. See, I can do all of that for him instead.
Step in time.
Disney have announced a new upscale dining experience for the Disney Cruise. This is for adults aboard the Disney Dream called Remy. Named after the star of the hit film... Go on.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, which I still haven't seen.
Oh.
Oh, sorry about that. Remy will serve French-inspired gourmet cuisine. And basically, with a suitable nod to the film, the main dining room is designed in an Art Nouveau style, which I can't say because I haven't seen the film, so I'll take their word for it. And even, if you look closely, it's stated in the article, you'll actually see artful interpretations of the character Remy integrated into design, which I've got to admit is something that Disney do exceptionally well in things. If you walk past things, you'll miss them. If you look a bit close, there's always something knocking around. And there's great things. There's, you know, roasted shrimp with Granny Smith apple chutney. What do you think of that?
I'm not a shrimp fan, so I find that difficult anyway.
I love shrimp. I just can't see the apple with it.
No.
Smoked bison and fennel salad with honey bell oranges. This is definitely for the adult palate, isn't it?
Oh, completely. Yeah, totally. There's no foie gras on there, though, is there? No, we're all right.
Where's the mac and cheese?
Yeah, there's no mac and cheese. And there's no ratatouille on the menu either, which I was sort of surprised at.
Do you think they'll have the animatronic around there or not?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt it with it being so upscale. Like, they sort of saying, I would look at this in the sense of Victoria and Albert's.
Ooh.
So I'm guessing they're not going to have an animatronic rat. Although I'm hoping Food Standards don't get hold of the fact that this is a restaurant named after a rat, or they may close it down before it opens.
Well, I don't know if you found that, because I haven't, on what I've seen in the menus, I can't see any prices.
No, well, What it will be is, because it's the cruise ship, food will be included and there will be a supplement added on top, probably something like $20 I would think per person on top of what you're already paying. So, you know, the food looks very, very good. The menu looks excellent. And it would be a lovely addition to the ship. Although I don't know whether I'd go in there and feel just a little bit too uncomfortable. Bearing in mind there's five courses and dessert and a champagne reception and bits and pieces afterwards as well. It's a lot of food.
I just find that the food is a little bit, it's not my style. I mean, wild turbot, citrus, spring onion, and it's just, give me a burger with some foie gras on top and I'm happy.
Yeah, as long as they don't know it's foie gras, it's fine. It's egg.
Burger and scrambled egg.
And scrambled egg.
Two Brits couldn't be wrong. If anyone ever heard our conversation in that restaurant, we must have been so common.
Yeah, seriously, I think we were. Yeah, and the French were just going, oh dear, what are these people doing? There we go. Right, so let's move into Walt Disney World then. And a piece of Walt Disney World news that we have to thank Craig's mum for.
Thank my mum.
So Craig's mum and Jess's mum is fine. Thank you for this piece of news, which is the following: that Virgin Atlantic have signed a deal with Disney, which partners them up with the Walt Disney Channel, basically the Disney Channel, which is going to provide over the starting. We think it's going to be May starting to provide channels on Virgin Atlantic flights that are playing shows from Disney Channel, Playhouse Disney and Disney XD. So we've got programs such as Hannah Montana, Wizards of Waverly Place, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Phineas and Ferb, Handy Manny and Zeke and Luther. I don't know Zeke and Luther. That's probably me swearing at Disney fans, but that's the only one on that list I haven't seen. But the head of in-flight services for Virgin, Simon Sonny, has said, "We are delighted to team up with the Disney Channels, who we feel produce some of the best children's programming around today. It's a great brand association for us and a fantastic opportunity for our passengers to see top kids television as part of our award-winning in-flight entertainment lineup." General Manager of Disney Channels in the UK and Ireland, Boel Ferguson, said, "Disney Channel UK is thrilled to partner with Virgin Atlantic to be involved with such an innovative platform. We look forward to bringing our compelling array of content to Virgin Atlantic's young passengers." And I've got to say, you know, this is pretty cool. I'm probably just about to admit something that everyone's going to think I'm really sad for, but if I'm up late on night and there's nothing on telly, I stick the Disney Channel on because there's always a Wizards of Waverly Place or something on like that about 11 o'clock at night, and I love it. It's a brilliant program.
Because you're weird.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's got nothing to do with it. A Wizards of Waverly Place is a great show, and Hannah Montana to a point is quite amusing for some mind-numbing entertainment. But it, you know, it's nice that Disney are now partnering up with Virgin and making that sort of, I suppose, as what we'd call it, synergy throughout an Orlando vacation.
Yeah, yeah. Been a long time coming. In fact, I'm very surprised it wasn't already there when they announced it. Somewhere in the back of my head, I thought it was there, but...
Yeah.
Just me, then.
Just you. Right, let's head into the parks. Are we heading into the parks?
Okay, I was just tagging on behind you. I'm not sure which park you want me to go to. Point.
Let's go into Magic Kingdom, shall we?
Okay. Are we going into Magic Kingdom round about September 10th to the 11th? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, we could do.
It's So we've moved a bit in the future. Craig's back from his miserable holiday. He's already gone. He's gone back again at this stage.
And he's probably, back from his second miserable holiday.
He's about to go on to his third one at October time. So yeah, it's the Disney's Nights of Joy, September the 10th and 11th, which is a the long running Christian music event, is coming back to the Magic Kingdom. And I have a feeling that we were racking our heads the other show about what this was called. I think we forgot its name, weren't we? And it's there. It's the Nights of Joy. Part of this two-night event. There's different artists all the time. David Crowder Band, Family Force 5. These are probably ones that you're not used to hearing, but if you go onto the YouTube or anything like that, there's loads of videos of these. Very, very sort of pop, rocky Christian bands. I quite like them, to be honest with you. It's from 7 p.m. until 2:30, 12:30 a.m. each night. After the regular Magic Kingdom hours, it is a special ticket event. It will feature live performance on several stages throughout the park, so you have to keep running round and round. You're the Mr. Disney. Whereabouts do you know that these are going to be? Are they like one stage in one land and the other in the other, or...?
They usually have a main stage right in front of the castle. If I remember rightly, and I think this year they'll be using what was the Stitches Supersonic Celebration stage there as well. I have a funny feeling there was one in Frontierland as well, but don't hold me on that one. But I'm pretty certain that they spread them over sort of almost like you could make a triangular shape out of the three stages.
So it's not going to kill you to get round them all then, really? Is that what you're saying? Or?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And there's loads of bands. These are bands who've won awards, the Dove Awards. Let's see what else we've got. Rap Hip Hop Album of the Year honours in the past 2 years. Mm. While none of them ring any bells to me, I think this sounds to me like a bit of an event I would pay and go and see, to be honest with you. I think it's good, clean music, great fun. I think that's what it's all about. So I would definitely pay and see this.
Because, people hear the Christian music and go, oh, quick, run away. But yeah, what you forget is Westlife did You Raise Me Up, which was done by a Christian artist originally. It was a massive hit. Mm. And actually, it's not that a lot of this music is full-on religion in your face. A lot of it is just very, very good music. And I think it would be, something a little bit different, a different sort of atmosphere and environment to be there for.
It's clean music that you can take your kids to.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Sadly missing sometimes today, these days.
Yeah.
It makes it sound old, doesn't it? No, different in my day, you could hear the lyrics.
Welcome to the Statler and Waldorf hour. Right, let's head over to Frontierland to find out about Splash Mountain. That there's rumours that the logs will be changing. We've been talking about, and I think actually it was on the last episode, we were talking about how there isn't any lap bars and it just seems like gravity holds you in. And it seems that there may be lap bars coming to the logs of Splash Mountain. The reason we've said it's rumoured is that there have been guests who recently went on the Backstage Magic Tour, and as part of that you go into central shops. And one of the great things about going to central shops is you can see some of the things that they're currently working on. So when I went over last summer and I did Backstage Magic, they had some of the Space Mountain vehicles in there, and they had something that was testing an opening and closing of a door. And I was stood there and sort of said to the cast member was taking us around, what on earth is this about? And she said, well, I can't really tell you what it's about, but just look at the shape of the doors and that gives you some idea. And I looked at it and I just said to her, they're putting doors on the trams, aren't they? And she just smiled. And it was like, there was no confirmation from her, but I think you can safely say that there are doors coming to the trams. But one of the things these guests saw was that there were Splash Mountain vehicles that had lap bars fitted. Now, it could be this is a test or a trial, but it seems that there are indeed going to be lap bars put onto Splash Mountain. There's no confirmation as to whether this is happening or when it's going to happen, but it's looking likely that this is going to be coming. Do we need it? One of the things I like about Splash Mountain is that danger factor of not being strapped in.
You can't do that anymore. Health and safety will probably have that. You'll probably have seat belts attached to you. They turn the water off because people might get cold or wet and stop the drop. It seems really strange. I don't understand... Why? What's the purpose of it? Unless they're going to increase the speed of the ride. I just don't know. I don't get it. No one's falling out of one.
It could be that they've increased the speed of the ride due to when it had its refurbishment recently. Maybe there's a risk of people standing up on the drop and it's happened too many times and they've said they're going to have to put lap bars in. I don't know.
What's the minimum height on that ride? I wonder if they can drop that to
lower. Off the top of my head, I don't know, and I haven't got the map in front of me now to tell you. I don't think it's overly large from what I remember. But I don't understand. I quite like the fact that there isn't a lap bar there. I just think it's great to have that sort of freedom there. And you don't lift out your seat or anything. It's not like there's any sort of scary The angle's too scary. Oh, and height requirement, by the way, 40 inches, 102 right. centimetres. So it's not massive. But I don't know. There has to be a reason for it, because it's going to have cost them a lot of money to have put that mechanism in. And I suppose we'll find out in time if it actually happens.
Very bizarre.
Mm. Go on then. What we got next?
I've lost my poo. That's all I can say.
You've lost your poo?
I've lost my poo.
Oh, my word.
12th of April, Ariel's Grotto and Pooh's Playful Spot will be gone. Gone.
So it's gone. It's gone by the time we're recording this.
Gone. So you can put an echo effect there, you see.
Shall I?
Perhaps not.
Pooh's gone.
Yes. Beginning April 12th, Ariel Grotto, Scuttle's Landing, Snack Location and Pooh's Playful Spot will be closing. This is all part of the refurb. You'll still be able to find several of your favourite Disney characters in some other locations and continue to experience other favourite Fantasyland attractions in their normal places. Ariel will continue to be seen in Celebrate a Dream Come True Parade and Spectrum Magic Parade at Magic Kingdom, as well as the Voyage of the Little Mermaid attraction at Hollywood Studios. But Ariel has been fired in Fantasyland for playing with Pooh. Ariel have a new grotto.
Oh, I shouldn't have given you this story.
Under the Sea Journey with Momo as part of the Fantasyland expansion scheduled for 2013. It seemed funny that they got into Pooh, to be honest, because that's his main area.
Yeah, I think that's probably just starting to work on that now, aren't they? And they need to cover that up to stop anything from getting in the way. And it must be part of the scheduled development of Fantasyland expansion. And it is sad to see it go, because it was a really nice play area just there. Although it was never really very, very busy, but it was a nice play area. But we'll see what happens, because there's some rumours that it's going to reopen in May, or they're going to reveal something in May. But I don't know. I think once it's closed, I don't think we're going to see anything for a little while as they begin to expand on that Fantasyland expansion.
Oh, Pooh gone.
Pooh's gone. Right, over to Frontierland, where they're not losing, throwing or doing anything with Pooh. We are looking at the Frontierland Happening Hoedown. This is something that's been going on in Walt Disney World for years and years over at the Magic Kingdom, where they've had this hoedown-style event that's happened between Big Thunder and Splash Mountain. And they've sort of revamped it over the years, and there's a new version, which is this Frontierland Happening Hoedown. And basically the way it works is a cast member from Big Thunder Mountain comes out from the attraction, picks up their hat and starts to wave it around in the air, and that is the sign for the music to start and the dancing to happening. And what happens is you hear the music start and cast members come out from all over the place, and they start almost this line dancing thing in the middle of the pathway, and then characters come out. So there's Country Bear characters, there's Brer Rabbit and things like that come out, and all these cast members join in and start this line dancing sort of event that just sort of happens in the middle of nowhere. And this time the sort of the development of it is it's now become an interactive experience, as they're trying to invite guests to come in and join them as well. So you can go in, take part, dance with the characters, dance with the cast members, etc. Now the interesting thing about this is it does not appear on park times guides. It is a thing that just sort of happens, basically. There's nothing anywhere to say that it's what time it happens. It just begins. So if you're there and you see it, you see it. Whether you can ask cast members and they'll give you some inclination, I don't know. But it's a cool little thing that very few people know about. And a lot of people only see it just by accident because they're there at the time.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Would you do some line dancing?
No, it sounds like
okay.
fun.
Right, what else we got? Just let's head over to Epcot, shall we, and see what we've got over there.
Right, so we've taken the Tron monorail to get there. Tronorail.
The Tronorail, indeed, we are.
So we're there. It's Epcot, we've discussed this before about expanding the seating, etc., that they've got going. So there's a few menus and experiences at Epcot that's changed at the moment. Roundup of these as they stand at the moment, because I think there's going to be a lot more of these than there are at the moment. There's a new dining experience in Italy, Authentic Pizzeria. The name seems to be Via Napoli, which sounds like an ice cream to me.
Sounds like you're going via Napoli.
Actually, yes. What does Via... Life, does it? Life, Napoli.
I think Via is about Napoli, life, yeah.
Napoli life. Free pizza? Right, it must mean something like that. There's a new gift shop in the China Pavilion, Like It Needs One.
It's yeah.
The biggest shop in the world there. new menu at the Rose and Crown Pub, and it does need that. I'll be honest there, it needed a bit of a rejig. I'm not sure it's because it's been a few times. It just needed something doing to it. And, of course, a new Givenchy store at the French Pavilion. My issue with this is I never go into these. France is boring because I don't think anyone goes there to buy perfume, and that's all it seems to sell.
Yeah, no, I must admit, we don't go into perfume stores because of the fact that they sell a lot of the stuff that you can buy in the UK, and it's double the price because they've had to ship it out to the US. I will, of course, travel to the back of the French Pavilion and visit the patisserie back there, and I can't go past the French Pavilion without eating one of their delicious cakes.
Do you know, sorry, when I was last in the French Pavilion, there were some Japanese tourists there who were asking how to get up to go up the Eiffel Tower. And the cast member had to say, it's not real and it's not that tall. And they looked really disappointed. And I thought, well, that forced perspective really works well then.
Didn't it? Passing the back for the Imagineers, you've confused the Japanese. Brilliant. Right. A bit of trickery there. But I like the French Pavilion for the fact that I actually quite like the French movie that they have there. It's just something a bit different. And they've got that sort of mix of classical French music that they have over the top of a lot of it.
But the shop could be better, couldn't it?
But the shops could be a little bit better, I think. You know, the patisserie's fantastic out the back. You've got that nice undercover eating area, which is fantastic to go and eat in when it's hot outside because it's air-conditioned. But I love the Pavilion. It's just a shame. Yeah, there's a lot of perfume and Givenchy that's going to be in there.
Givenchy, sorry.
I don't know. Da Vinci, was that? No, paints paintings. Just more perfume. Which is great for people who are in the US.
For smelly people. To travel over, but
the same people, yes. There you go. Right, okay. The AAA, which is not Alcoholics Anonymous Anonymous, it is in fact the Automobile Association of America, I think is that how it says, have a special storytelling experience that was happening over in the Magic Kingdom, and it was happening in the by the Exposition Hall. But because they're now ripping everything out of there to change into character meet and greets, they've had to move where these storytelling experiences are happening, and they are now taking part in the Norway Pavilion in Epcot. The second floor of VIP lounge is now going to be where this experience will happen and will last until the end of 2010. Now, the show times for this are at 10 a.m., 10:45 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 12:15 p.m. So they're all in the morning. Interesting that some of them are happening before the World Showcase opens. Which I noticed. So that's going to be interesting to see how they do that, because World Showcase is fantastic before the park opens and you can go and walk around there and you can see all the stuff that's happening. But it's happening, say, 10:45, 11:30, 12:15 p.m. The experience is storytelling, which also features character appearances as well, but it's a benefit for those who purchase an AAA vacation package. Don't turn up at 10 o'clock and go, can we come in? If you haven't booked a package, because you're not going to be able to get in. But they have moved that there from the Magic Kingdom over to the Norway Pavilion in Epcot.
Cool. Now it's over to Mexico. Arriba. New Donald Duck meet and greet at the Mexican Pavilion, which is great because Donald isn't there enough. This will be a permanent home for the duck, provide a backdrop for photographs, and expected to open next month. I think it's great because I think there isn't enough of Donald anyway in the parks, and I think, it ties into sort of a few things going on there. So, a Mexico Donald.
Yeah, and it fits in with the Gran Fiesta Tour and the position that he is in. If you look at the Mexico Pavilion, there's sort of a pathway to the right-hand side, and he sort of hides in there, and he literally just stood in the pathway, and there was no sort of official queuing system, no nothing. So it's nice to see that Donald is officially getting a full-on character meet-and-greet area, which is going to be properly built. It's not like he's just stood there because there's a space. It's going to look like a proper meet-and-greet. And, you know, there are those people who say, why on earth have we got characters in World Showcase? World Showcase is supposed to be a grown-up adult place where you go and see the countries for what they are. But I don't have a problem. You know, we've got Snow White now in Germany. We've got Donald in Mexico. I think it's great. It's just another opportunity to see the characters where there won't necessarily be as long a queue. And also a character in a different costume because he's dressed as a Mexican, which is something that you wouldn't expect to see normally. I think it's great to have these characters around World Showcase. No matter what anyone says.
Definitely.
Right, Hollywood Studios then, and some bad news for you. Those of you who may have seen Luxo Jr., who was an animatronic that stood on top of the lighting company building in Pixar Place, seems to have gone. It's not completely confirmed that he's not coming back, but he has not been seen for some time, and rumours are that he has been removed and will not be returning. He would put on performances during the day, and they would be slightly altered depending on the time of day it was, and he would conduct lights in the evening, and he would come out, and he was a fantastic animatronic. I only ever seen him on video. I never saw him live. Every time we were in Hollywood Studios, he just wasn't working, and it seems that that's a continual thing. Even Ricky Briganti on Inside the Magic was saying the other week that every time he's been to Hollywood Studios, and bearing in mind he lives in Orlando, he goes a lot, he's still never seen Luxo, which shows you just how little he was working. It seems that he's not been running for some time, as we've said, and it could be due to operational issues, as in he couldn't perform when the weather wasn't any good, and also there was a lot of technical issues with him, and it maybe it just turns out that it was more expensive to repair than it was just to get rid of him and forget him anymore together. It's just a shame to see he's gone, but you know, that's what happens sometimes.
Should have got some French Imagineers to build him, that way they would have built him to actually withstand the rain.
Yeah, definitely, and they could have made him look a lot larger than he actually was, and
yes,
he could fool the Japanese again.
Could have been tiny, just false perspective. With strings.
Well, at least, you know, we're being nice to the French this time, because Craig's not here.
We like the French. It's always Craig.
Yeah, it's always Craig. I'd blame him. Right, let's head into Downtown Disney then and see what we've got going on down there.
D Street opens in Downtown Disney. The new store has opened, now with a familiar look. If you know Trendies... Do you like that? Trendies? Trendies. At the other end of Downtown Disney, you'll know the look. Good news is some of the old props from Adventurers Club, I think this is good and bad news, have made it in, including the old radio, the zebra bookcase and the monkey statue. Good news that they're there, bad news the fact that it definitely looks like you're not going to have Adventurers Club back again. Yeah. The official grand opening is at 9:45 precisely, Friday the 16th of April. So get on down to D Street.
Definitely going down to D Street. It is sort of bad news that we know Adventurers Club isn't opening, but already we know that some of the Adventurers Club props were being sent over to Hong Kong for the Mystic Point expansion, things like that. So it is good to see they've kept some stuff they're going to be using again. And one of the cool things about this grand opening, all of the media in Florida and America have been sent their invitations as one of the giant vinyl mations that have been designed with the date and all that sort of stuff on the front of them, so they can keep them, which is cool.
Collector's item.
A collector's item indeed.
And there's one? Also,
if we haven't got one because we're not in America. No, we didn't get someone. Shipping's too much.
Craig's probably got one.
I bet he has and has not told us. I reckon you're right. But apparently, and this would be, if I was there, I would so be there for this. They've got DJs, they've got some Disney design group artists there as well. But there's also going to be a Disney artist who's going to be painting. He's going to be painting to music. So he's got a blank canvas and he will use music and he will paint with it. One guy who's really good at this is a guy named David Garibaldi, who is awesome. He was at the D23 Expo and he really is absolutely amazing. And it will just be phenomenal just to see him painting, let alone anything else that's going
on.
He
makes fantastic biscuits as well.
Yeah. Anyway, let's
paint and bake to music.
paint and bake. It sounds like some sort of bizarre product of which you cook and then ice.
You don't knock it. That's gone on QVC this week, I'm sure.
Paint and bake. So that's Friday, the 16th of April at 9:45 a.m. Right, jumping on a plane, heading over to Disneyland Paris, and we've got some bits and pieces. And first off, I want to say a massive happy birthday to Euro Disney, Disneyland Paris Resort, whatever you want to call it. For on the day we record this, the 12th of April, Disneyland Paris turned 18. It's really been there for 18 years. It can now go out on its own. It's allowed to go clubbing and it's allowed to go drinking. So if you do get there early in the morning, it may look a bit disheveled and have a bit of a headache due to a heavy night the night before, but it is great to see that it's now finally turned 18 and we've had, you know, a park there that's starting to come on for a good number of years, and we're getting closer to that 20th.
Just makes me feel old, really.
Yeah, just starting to get
known it man and boy.
But there you go, I just want to say happy birthday to Disneyland Paris.
Woohoo!
Right, Disney Village then, what we got?
Yeah, after you lied and told everyone that the Power Magique Bloom was dead and finished and would never see it again. No, you said this and, you know, you thought it was gone, but that's not true. Adam lied. It's been replaced by a newer model. This balloon brings new effects as it lights up at night from the inside of the skin. During the night flight, you can see a silhouette of Tinkerbell on the outside. So, yes, it was a case of it's gone and a new one's here. So if someone offers you an old balloon on eBay, just snap it up.
Yeah, snap it up because there's an impasse for a few years. There's some great photos up on dlrptoday.com of the balloon at night all lit up, and it literally, they turn all of the lights off around the bottom and they've just got this big balloon that's lit up. I've still not done it. It's one of the things on my list of things to do, because unlike Characters in Flight, the Panorama Magique balloon is directly by Disney Studios and Disneyland Paris Park, and you can see just so many great things from up there. It'd be great just to go up and do that. So one day I'm going to go and do that, I promise.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right, Disneyland Paris then, let's head into Disneyland Park, and a rumour about Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, that fantastic 3D film that is 20-odd years old, and I'm fed up of it. Now, the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience show is rumoured to be closing. They could be, and this is a very, very faint rumour, they could be replacing it with Captain EO. Now, the film was so popular when it returned to Disneyland in California, Disneyland Paris management have apparently considered bringing it back for a return. Now, there are also rumours that this is going to be going down for a long refurb at the end of April, beginning of May, for a few months, could be up to 3 months. And in that time, it's said that they could be doing over the interior of the theatre to turn it into a Captain EO in time for a July return. Now, I've looked on Disneyland Paris's website. There is nowhere to say that there is a refurb coming for Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. But to be honest, you know, if we look at it now, we look at how old Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is, Captain EO's done so well in California, it'd be fantastic. And what would be great, and there's Emma Skillingly on Facebook has set up a new group, which is Bring Muppet Vision 3D to Disneyland Paris. And it'd be great if they closed it down, got rid of Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, brought Captain EO in for maybe a year or so, took that out, and then brought in Muppet Vision 3D. It'd be a fantastic addition to the park.
I don't want Captain EO, I'm not going to see it. But Muppets brilliant, yes.
Would you not go see Captain EO?
No, because I've made my views about
that
before.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it when I was a kid. It was a fantastic show. I remember going to see it when I was little, and I just loved it, and I'd love to see it back again.
But you wouldn't have it if Michael Jackson was still alive.
Well, yeah, okay, that is true.
I think it's a bit hypocritical, so...
Yeah, oh, okay.
I say Muppets would be ultimate fantastic, and I think it would bring more crowds in.
But the question would be, would you do Muppets with an English or French?
Both.
What, so you'd have different showings for English and French?
I'd mix it into the whole show.
Mix it into the whole show? Because the thing is with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience at the minute is you have to have headphones on if you're English. And you have to listen to the whole thing in English. I just don't know whether Kermit the Frog's going to sound the same in French. It's in French, but...
Why couldn't you have a silent one?
A silent one.
No, but you could have some kind of silent film that doesn't need to have any language that appeals to every single member of every single country.
That's true.
They need to think about it.
Well, they may do a tribute to all nations, but mostly France.
Muppets mime 3D.
Okay. All right. Well, you design it.
I'm working on it now.
All right. We'll film it and then we'll give it to him and let him have it.
Yoo-hoo.
All right. That'd be cool. Bit of us in the park then. Right, Walt Disney Studios, let's head over there.
Yeah, it's Sony Ericsson has confirmed itself as the new sponsor of the Backlot Tour, which is a bit controversial because not the fact that they're sponsoring, but the fact that people seem to be like Marmite. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah.
We've no idea how this is going to change the attraction, but on the flip side of it, for about 2 years now, we've no idea what's going to happen to the Backlot Tour. We're not sure if it'll bring a new video, but as you know, the attraction is definitely going to be staying for a bit longer. The sponsorship's there, and I think we just need some stability around this. Cause I think every few months it's up and like, oh, it's gone, it's finishing, etc. Or they're taking this bit, and I just think it needs a bit of revitalising, saying they're here for good, and this is what it is.
I completely agree with you, and to be honest, I do the Backlot Tour because of Catastrophe Canyon.
Mm.
But I don't enjoy it anymore. I'm lucky in the sense that I've been able to go to Disneyland Paris an awful lot. But it's never been a working studio. I've never really understood what this is all supposed to be about. It's a massive, massive area, and it's being taken up by this tram tour. And I think it's a massive area that can be used for expansion. And they've taken some of that tour out now to include Toy Story Playland. Maybe, you know, when we come to that, maybe they're keeping it there because they can't afford the expansion yet. And maybe this is just going to be here for a few years now until they can afford the next step of that expansion. But the Backlot Tour for me, I still can't see what the purpose of putting that one in, other than it's a large area to fill with one attraction.
Yeah.
ice cream van has appeared on Hollywood Boulevard. This new 50s style ice cream truck seems to be now in permanent place, and it's not a prop. It is indeed going to sell ice creams. One of the disappointing things is you have this 1950s style ice cream van with a sign stuck on the side of it with all the modern day ice creams and prices on it, which destroys it slightly. But there is a new ice cream truck down on Hollywood Boulevard. It looks like it's ready set up for the summer.
Cool. Which takes us, of course, to Toy Story Playland. There's a bit of news every week or so on this.
Yeah.
They've released the height requirements now. You've got to be 16 feet 4 to ride on anything. The Toy Soldier's parachute drop comes in at 81 centimetres, which is how many inches, Adam? I work in inches, not centimetres.
I have no idea. I don't know.
The Narky Racer stands at 1 metre 20, the same height, bizarrely enough, as Rock and Roller Coaster. So this shows that RC Racer is going to be a bit of a ride, I think. There, not
well, yeah,
for the kids.
It seems like it's going to be a thrill ride, isn't it? And looking at the size of the attraction anyway, it does look pretty big. But for it to have exactly the same height requirement as Rock and Roller Coaster is a massive height requirement for it to have. It sort of knocks out a lot of the children who are going to be visiting Toy Story Playland. It means possibly slightly shorter queues, which isn't going to be a problem. But I didn't expect it to have such a large height requirement.
48 inches.
48 inches, there you go.
Which is quite big, so I was expecting it to be a lot more kiddie orientated. So,
48 inches. My wife might only just make it on.
Oh, bless her little cotton socks.
Bless her. They are little cotton socks as well.
Well, they're better than thick cotton socks to get on the road.
Yeah, we'll have to put cotton socks and padding in her shoes. It'll be fine. Yeah. It'll all be good. So yeah, 1 meter 20 is very, very high. Okay, let's head over to Disney Village then. Last bit of news for Disneyland Parks, and that is that the spring entertainment is in full swing. Started on the 3rd of April and is running all the way through to the 30th. Disney Village have got what they're calling their springtime entertainment, and it is basically a female duo by the name of Flower Power. And they're performing 70s songs at certain times during the evening. There's some interesting photos up on some of the websites, and I'm very confused by what they look like. But if you want to see Flower Power perform some of those 70s classics, including non-Disney films like I think it's Flashdance Fame, that's the one. You can see them on the following dates. If you go April the 16th, 23rd or 30th, they're performing at 6:30, 7:30 and 8:30. If you go April the 17th and 24th, it's at 7, 8 and 9:30. And if you go April 18th and 25th, it is at 7, 8 and 9. So it's all at roughly the same sort of time. And what with the parks closing slightly earlier, they're going to be beginning their nighttime entertainment in Disney Village at the same time people are going to be strolling through Disney Village having been to the parks for the day.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. It's well called, isn't it? No, that's wrong. Okay, some UK Disney news for you. We don't really have a lot of UK Disney news very often, but we have two things, one of which I would say I'm excited about, not because of what it's about, because of the potential of what it could be. So, Juz, start us off with this 100 Years of Magic, Disney on Ice.
Yeah, we've spent months and months trying to get rid of ice. I'm sick of the sight of it, and what does Disney do? It brings it back. With a Disney on Ice tour around the UK. And we tickets start from £14.50 to £37.50, depending on the venue. I think there's a big difference in there. Might be worth the petrol money going somewhere else. And we just run through them. They're starting in September time. So we've got the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow, the 10th to 19th of September. I presume Adam's going to put this on the forum anyway. The Trent FM Arena in Nottingham, the 1st to the 3rd of October. Metro Arena Newcastle, YA, 5th to the 10th of October. The MEN Arena Manchester, the 13th to the 17th of October. The O2, which I think is where they're going to be the pricier tickets, at the 20th to 31st of October. The NIA Birmingham, 3rd to 14th of November. And finishing off at the Sheffield Arena at the 16th to 21st of November. So they're covering virtually every hotspot there is in the country. So if you're into Disney and the ice and all that lot, it seems like something worth buying now as an early Christmas present to yourself.
Yeah, you could do. What's the nearest one to you there? Manchester?
Glasgow.
Glasgow. That's the way you're ringing up for tickets. No, ring us. Don't ring us. We're not selling tickets. No, we're just giving you the information.
It's Manchester.
The Manchester close.
Same for you, is it? Or is it London be for you?
No, it's sort of Birmingham, Nottingham, really. I'm sort of smack bang in the middle of the two, so either of those will do me fine. But the £14.50 and the £37.50 tickets obviously are priced per tier, but the lowest price is £14.50 at some locations, and it's about £16.50 at others, so I think it depends on which one you go to. I went to see the Princesses and Ice one last year. I took my little niece, and in fact, we reviewed it on the show. She absolutely loved it, and this is the 100 Years of Magic one, is one that they brought a few years back, but it's linked a little bit to the theme parks. So you have, I think there's a monorail that comes on at one point. They have a Main Street Electrical Parade style section as well, which sounds fantastic. I'm going to be taking Harry because I think he'll absolutely love it. And I think we'll probably go to Birmingham. We could go to Birmingham. I think we'll probably go to Birmingham go in November time. But tickets are now on sale. They don't sell out usually, but the cheaper tickets usually go quicker than more expensive, obviously. Right, this one is one that got me excited, not for the fact of, like I say, what it's about, because I'm not a massive pinch. Well, I'm not really a pin trader at all. I collect the odd pins, and you guys always break me about that anyway. But there is a pin trading event that's coming to the Disney store in Milton Keynes, okay? And if you are anywhere near Milton Keynes, you must go and attend this, and I'll explain why in a second. Okay. The largest official pin event is coming to Milton Keynes. It's happening this Saturday, the 17th of April. Okay. It's in the Milton Keynes Shopping Centre. And what they basically announced what's going to happen. It's this. It says, join us at Disney Store Milton Keynes for our first ever UK pin signing. Taking place on the launch day of the first pin in our new Sword series, the day will give you the opportunity to meet Disney artist Kim Raymond and be the first to see our new Sword series of pins. The Sword series is a limited edition of 1,250 made up of 6 pins showing some of the greatest Disney heroes and heroines. On the day, we'll have a special limited edition shield containing the complete Sword series and an additional completer pin. Plus, Kim Raymond will be in store on the day to sign your shield in person. There will only be 200 of this shield and completer pin produced, and they will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. Guests can begin to arrive at the store from 9 a.m. and will be given a wristband to hold their place in the queue. This will be an opportunity to trade. There will also be an opportunity to trade pins with your fellow collectors and some other surprises on the day. Now, like I've said, I'm not a massive pin trader, but the fact that Kim Raymond, one of the Disney artists, is going to be there, this is the perfect opportunity for us to go. I will be heading down to Milton Keynes on Saturday. I will be there. I have spoken to, I'm not quite sure how many people on Facebook who have all said they're going to be there as well. This sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event. For those of you who are pin traders, it's the largest collection of pin traders in the UK that's happened so far. There are going to be some tables for you to pin trade within the store. There's also going to be this shield. There's going to be the completer pin there as well. I think the shield comes in about £45 in total. But it's just going to be an immense event. Now, I've spoken to Disney about this because we're hoping to get an interview with Kim himself, fingers crossed, on the day while we're down there. But one of the things they were saying is it's the first time ever they've tried to do anything like this. And if this is a success, it will only then look at Disney UK putting on other events in the UK for Disney fans. And what they're saying at the moment is they're looking really for the response from people in the UK to this event. And if this goes well, then, you know, the sky's the limit. We'll see what happens from there. But they've been wanting to do this for years. They attempted to do something similar a few years ago, and it didn't really take off. They've taken note of the fact that pin trading seems to be getting bigger in the UK, and then they're obviously putting this event on again with the special guests and all those bits and pieces. So if you are anywhere near Milton Keynes this Saturday from 9 a.m, head down. I will be there. There'll be a load of people there, and it should be a great event. Are you coming down?
Too far.
It is too far because you're sort of nearly Liverpool, really, and it is a long way for you. But it's probably an hour and 20 odd minutes for me. And I you know, like I say, I'm not a pin trader, but the opportunity to be at what it could be a massive UK based Disney event will just be an absolutely fantastic place to be at.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Right, so I'll see some of you there for that. Now, one of the things I put on Facebook over the past week is about doing some. some pricing up of Disney holidays. And since we've sort of recorded the last episode, I have booked myself a trip in August to go out to Walt Disney World. And I'm going out 2nd to the 11th of August. So we're smack bang in the middle of the school holidays here. So it's not the cheapest time to go. But what I wanted to do was to sort of back up what we looked at about DIY Disney holidays, about doing it yourself and how much money you can save yourself. So I'm going to tell you how much my holidays cost me, and then what I want to do is to compare that with what I found from UK travel agents, people like that. Okay, so my holiday that I'm going on, like I've said, 2nd to the 11th of August, I'm staying over at Saratoga Springs. We're flying from London Heathrow with US Airways and flying back to London Gatwick with US Airways. Now, my flights, unfortunately, aren't direct. I've got to change, but they've come in at £1,300 for two adults. Now, my accommodation, I've said we're staying at Saratoga. At the moment, if you book with Disney, they're giving 48% off of your hotel if you stay in a Disney Deluxe Villa. And also, they're throwing in the free dining plan. So with that, and my tickets, and my free dining plan, that's come to £1,350. So it's costing me £2,650 for a 10-day trip out to Walt Disney World. If I want to upgrade, it's another £756. So the maximum it's going to cost me is £3,406. So, but I've paid £2,650. And what I want to show you now is a comparison of how much it would cost me to go with other companies. So I started off with Virgin. I looked at Virgin going from London Gatwick to Orlando. Now, there's no economy seats left. So the only thing they could offer me was premium economy. Now, that comes in at a massive £5,709.18. Now, bearing in mind it's premium economy, so there's an upgrade there. So like I said, if I upgraded my trip, the maximum would be was £3,406. So I'm still a massive £2,300 off the price of going Virgin from London Gatwick to Orlando, which is a massive difference, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible and scary.
It really is incredible and scary. Now, if I was to fly or book with Virgin from London Heathrow to Orlando, the flights would not be with Virgin. They would be with Delta and they would change at Atlanta. These are premium, these are economy seats, and that price would come in at £3,572, so still £900 more than what I paid. Now, if I go to First Choice, they don't offer Saratoga Springs, unfortunately. I looked at a moderate, basically. I went a step down, looked at the Port Orleans Riverside. Now, it has to be 14 nights because of the days that they only fly out on. And I was flying into Sanford on this occasion. So, for 14 nights, okay, it's 4 days more, but that came in at £4,600, but that didn't include tickets. So I'm looking at another £450 on top of that. So I'm looking at about, and food as well. So I'm looking at £5,000 including tickets, and I'm looking at another £400 or so worth of food. So I'm looking at £5,400 for that. Again, a massive difference to what I booked, although you get extra days. Thomas Cook, I looked at, they couldn't offer me a holiday in Walt Disney World. They weren't interested. But they could offer me a room in Saratoga Springs for a minimum cost of £1,936.17. And bearing in mind my hotels cost me £900, that's an extra £1,000 on top. So it's quite a lot, isn't it, Juz?
You caught me out then, because I was talking to Craig on Skype.
No, I got you. Craig's just appeared on Skype.
And we were taking the mickey out of you, and I couldn't find
the mickey. Yes, I know. I can see you're taking the mickey. And Craig's bought himself a Power Pass for Universal as well. We don't want to talk about that.
Yes, it's quite the Virgin one you said originally, yeah?
Yeah.
Would that include your food as well or not?
The First Choice?
The Virgin First one you did.
The Virgin First ones did, yes. They included food. Yeah, so, that included the dining package.
Right.
I just think
even by doing what you've done, how can anyone rip you off for the markup they're getting?
Well, exactly. You know, I've just got a couple more just want to look at here. Travel City Direct, again, 2 weeks.
Can I go back to talk to
non-direct Kate? Flights, although does include car hire and tickets, was 4,364. British Airways, 2,904, but that was for Port Orleans Riverside. That didn't include any tickets. And Thomson, again, flying into Stamford for 2 weeks, does include higher end tickets for Port Orleans Riverside, £5,366, which is a massive amount. Massive, massive amount.
Yeah. I think you've covered virtually every company it's sending out there, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're looking at some of them even double, which is good stuff, really. Craig, you there? Oh, Craig was there a second ago. I thought he'd come to join us, and he's disappeared off.
Hello, everyone.
There he is. Hello, Craig. How are you doing?
Can you not hear me?
Hello. We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I'm all right. I'm struggling with my internet, so I thought I'd just pop in and say hello.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye.
Craig's there, he's in Orlando, and it's all sunny.
Oh, he has gone as well.
Yeah, he has actually just gone. He's just cleared off and left us. Fine. Get lost then. We don't care. That's rude. He just disappeared. Brilliant. I love it. Anyway, I won't tell you what you said next. Right. So there we go. That's sort of our news and our rumours and our bits and pieces we just went to share with you. And Craig's come back. Hello, Craig.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Just about. Hey, how are you guys? Did you miss me?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. I'll go back outside to the pool then, shall I?
No.
Oh, will you? Oh, here we go. Yes, I'm in the pool. Oh, it's lovely and warm. Bloody, bloody, blah. So you bought Power Passes for Universe, is that right?
I have. Well, I bought them yesterday. We were thinking about what to do, and we had a AAA magazine here, which we're members of, and they were doing the $140 pass for $112. And I was thinking, do you know what? You only need to go kind of 3 days, and you've made your money on those. So we went ahead and bought them, and they're arriving tomorrow, and then we have to go and cash them in before the 16th of April. So we're going to go down on Friday because we're off to the Treehouse Villas for a couple of days. And then so next week I can live in Universal. I'm going to become probably, I don't know, who's the big fat one with a beard? Him.
So that's you sorted then, is it? Ready for Harry Potter in the summer?
Exactly. Well, I'll go next week, just, you know, test a few things out and... Because it's been a while, as you both know. And I did promise that I would go on Iron Orlando. So I'll send in my expenses claim for 400 and something odd bucks. So if you can send me the money, Adam, that'd be great. And then I'm all ready for the summer. Yeah, I can become Harry Potter.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to Harry Potter. That's going to be good. And it means now Craig can stand there and flash his Power Pass around while I have to pay a fortune to go just for a day.
Yeah, I've still got to pay for parking. We did try and work out whether we would buy one of the next pass up, whatever that's called, and to get the free parking, but you would have had to have gone like 10 times, so I don't think we would have done that.
Nah, probably not.
I would have. Oh.
Yes.
Because you could drive in the car park, then drive out and then go back round. If you did that one day, then you've broken even.
That's true.
That's yeah. Point. Or queue up and just say, would you like to come in for free? Just give me a lift, okay? There you go. Some pass. And then next one, like, and collect the $12 from them.
Yes.
Or $14 that it is now.
That's a good idea. There you go. That could be your job you wanted, Adam, in Orlando.
My job I wanted in Orlando. That'd be fantastic. Oh, well.
Car park.
Well, thank you for coming to join us.
But go away. That's all right. Well, I thought,
are you staying or are you going?
Well, I'll stay for a little bit. I mean, I just don't want to upset the quality of it because the sound on our podcast is pretty cool now and I don't want to ruin it because I've only, just to let everyone know, I've only got like an edge connection, which, Jazz, you'll know how fast that is, but it's about 225 bits per second or something. It's not very fast. It's like half of old 512 broadband. So it's not great. You know, if I can sit here and listen and not annoy you, then I'm happy to do so for 10 minutes and while I'm drying off.
Where are you sat? Okay. In a box?
He's back in his cupboard. He's in the wardrobe again. He's back in his closet.
Is that what he does? Goes to Orlando and sits in a wardrobe.
Well, No, I'm using the built-in microphone on my laptop because I didn't think it would work. But I'll go off and get my headset. So you talk amongst yourselves, and I'll be back in a minute.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's go off. Let's go off to an ad.
Fantasies come to electric life.
Flexible, simple, valued, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Hi Adam, hi Joe, hi Pod people, it's Craig in the Cove again. Just thought I'd let you know I finally made it to Pecos Bill, so I'm sitting here right now eating my Angus quarter of third pounder with cheese, piled up with mushrooms, not just that shit, mushrooms, onions, mustard and ketchup, and it is lovely. Deb's gone for chicken wrap, which she really likes, since you've got cheeseburgers. So no Pinocchios for us today, Pecos Bill, and it's yummy. Speak to you soon, bye-bye.
So we're going around the world again, and we're on, I forget what number segment, but we're going to be doing something we
80.
Haven't done before.
Yeah, the last one.
80. No, it's nowhere near 80. Oh. We're doing something we haven't done before, which is we're doing the whole of Liberty Square. We're doing ride shows, attractions, dining, and shopping, because it's only a few rides, and there's a bit more dining in there, so we're going to try and add the whole lot together. Craig is here. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Em. Hello, Jazz. Hello, all you pod people.
And he's on a really dodgy internet connection. He stole it from the local police or something. I don't know. He's on so he's going to chime in every now and again with bits and pieces. But we're going to look at the rides first. Or we'll look at the rides first, and then we'll go into the shows. So we're going to start off with the Liberty Square Riverboat, which I always find a very interesting one in the fact that although it's based in Liberty Square, the majority of the ride takes place in Frontierland. And it's a quite slow, calm riverboat ride that takes you around the rivers of America and around Tom Sawyer Island. It's quite a nice little journey, you know, nothing spectacular, I wouldn't think personally myself. There's no fast pass for it. It is wheelchair accessible, which is great. It was recently made over for the Princess Tiana Jubilee, but that showboat Jubilee is now gone. It's now just back to itself. But Juz, is this an attraction that you will often ride, or is it something you skip?
If there's no queues, etc., we will go on it. Big things, remember, there are no toilets on it.
There are no toilets on it. That's a very, very good point.
So little ones, they need to be toileted first. So you can't always trust them. And to be honest, the older I've got, I can't always trust me.
It's about a 15-minute attraction as well.
Yeah.
Craig, do you go on this?
I do, but I always feel when I go on it, I want to kind of undo my shirt and roll my trousers up to the knee and put a fishing rod over the edge.
Well, it's sort of based upon the ideas of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and all those sort of things. So you're supposing the right sort of place to do that.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's peaceful and relaxing, and it's quite a nice setting. It's better than the Jungle Cruise.
Here we go again. Oh. As you know, we had such a lovely time. We didn't abuse or upset anyone in the first 40 minutes of the show. And he comes along, and within the first 2 minutes, that's it, upset somebody. Liberty Square Riverboat, then, designed, well, it's designed for anybody, really, isn't it? I suppose your teenagers are going to get a bit bored of it, would you say? Teens would be bored of that?
Yeah, a little bit. I would just, you know, it's a 3-star for the family. Do it if there's no queue. But remember, little ones need to go to the toilet first. Teens and tweens will be bored out of their heads.
And don't go and ask to drive it because it's on a rail. Sorry to disillusion everybody, but it is indeed on a track and the water's only about 7 feet deep. Right, okay. Yeah. Out of 5, what would you give it, Juz?
3.
Craig?
I agree with Juz, 3.
I think I'm going to go for 3. I can't give it any more than a 3. Right, the second, and there's only 2 rides really in the whole Liberty Square, and the second ride in Liberty Square is the Haunted Mansion. Designed to look like a gothic building, you travel through what is supposedly the haunted 999 haunted ghosts inside the Haunted Mansion. Big long story that goes with it, which I could bore with you with right now, but I'm not going to. This is my favourite ride in the whole of Walt Disney World. If I had to choose one ride that I would ride and nothing else, Haunted Mansion would be it every single time. I love this attraction. The detail, the story, the effects, the whole lot of it is just absolutely fabulous. Juz, you're a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Is this a close second for you?
Very close second. I think it's amazing. The setting from the queues, the building, just everything about it is absolutely pure Disney.
Have you ridden this yet, Craig, since you've been over there?
I have been over it, and you know, I like it, and I think it is kind of a proper, true Disney ride. So, yeah, but I mean, I'm not as geeky as it about you are, Adam. I know you adore it, To me, I think there's better attractions in there, but I know I do like it, and I do like it since it's been tightened up a bit.
Cut him off now. Bye. Oh, we are breaking up, Craig. You'll have to say bye now. See you later. How dare he say
bye, Adam.
Yeah, something like that, isn't it? Oh, I told you about this thing. I've always wanted to go up to a McDonald's window and say, can I take your order, please? And do that. I'd love to do that. It'd be funny. It is my all-time favourite attraction. I just absolutely adore it, and I would ride it over and over again. Who's it designed for? I think this is a really interesting point about who this is designed for. Tweens would love it. Teens would love it. Anybody older than that, fantastic. Babies, I'm not sure. What is your take on this? You know, you've taken your kids when they were young, both of you, Craig and Jess. What's the youngest you dared take your kids on Haunted Mansion?
I took my youngest at 5. He was a bit of a scaredy cat, and he loved it.
Craig?
Yeah, no, I think Kieran's been on it since he was about, you know, 2.5, 3. He's not that, wasn't that bothered. He was more scared of the ghosts on Tower of Terror that come out, actually, than he was of Haunted Mansion. But I think that's the point of it. I don't think it is scary, is it?
It's not scary. I think it's just the fact that it's dark. And we toyed with the idea of whether we would take Harry on it last summer. He was 2.5 then, or just 2 and a bit. And we were sort of like, is he going to be too young for Haunted Mansion? Is he not? And I think you know your own child. And we were in the position that we thought, well, I think he's maybe just a little bit too young this year. One of the tips I have used in previous years, though, if you've got a child who's scared of the dark, but you don't think he'd be scared of the images, is to take on a glow stick and give him a glow stick on there. And that keeps them quite happy because they've got the light there. But I wouldn't take babies on, I don't think. Toddlers, I think, you know, you'd know your own kid. If they were 2 or maybe younger, I'd maybe steer clear. You've got the sort of the darkness and the screaming and the effects within the stretching room itself that could be a little bit scary. Again, no fast pass for this. It is, you must transfer from a wheelchair, but there is also handheld captioning and audio description as part of this as well. What are you giving it out of 5, Juz?
5.
Craig?
Yeah, no, I'll give it 5. In fact, Kieran's just stood behind me and said he was scared when it went down hill really fast.
There you go. So he was correct. You lied.
There you go.
What a rubbish dad.
I did.
It would be a 6 out of 5 for me because I love it.
Can't do that.
No, I can because it's my rule. It's my game. Right. Okay, so we're going to move on to shows, which is there's only one show in the whole of Liberty Square. That is the Hall of Presidents. Was done over, not done over, literally someone went in and trashed it. It was updated last year. Barack Obama was added. It was also shortened from what it was originally. It still is quite a patriotic show. Designed, I would say, more for your teens and upwards. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't know. Depends if you're an American family or not. But I don't think teens would probably enjoy it from a British aspect. Older than that, I think you enjoy it simply because of the history behind the animatronics and what they can do.
Yeah.
Toddlers might enjoy it from the sort of the bizarre fact of, ooh, there's robots walking around. I don't know. I think it depends where you come from. America, very patriotic, very young. I think that everyone would enjoy it from the family. I love it. I think to see it and to see Walt's vision of the animatronic with Abe Lincoln, yeah.
I like it, I must admit. And now they've shortened it, it's a different show, but I still enjoy it. And, you know, the way they've got all of those presidents there that all get up and all move and all have their special little quirks and bits and pieces. And the Obama animatronic is absolutely phenomenal. It is just unreal to sit and watch it. I just remember seeing it for the first time and just going, man, it's scary just how real they're making these animatronics look now. And it's a nice show. It's not a long length. It's sort of 20-odd minutes or so now. There's no fast pass for it, unfortunately. It is wheelchair accessible, which is great. They have assistive listening, and they also have this reflective captioning. And I remember first seeing this on Country Bear Jamboree when there was this bit backwards writing behind me. I could never quite work out what it is. It's reflective captioning. But it's a great show. Is this one, Craig, you going to see a lot?
I do like it. I liked it since it's been shortened. And I think Jos is right, actually. If you're American, I think you're going to like it from a much younger age. I think Kieran wasn't particularly interested in it, but Alex found it quite interesting because, you know, Barack was inaugurated on her birthday. So she's always kind of had a little bit of, that's why he did it. She's had a bit of interest. Because you remember seeing it on the news. So, you know, I think kind of for non-American kids, I'd kind of say from 7 and 8, they'd like it. But yeah, no, it's nice. I think, you know, it's much better show now than it was before with Bracken. So yeah, no, it's good.
But they are the three rides and attractions of Liberty Square. So we're going to head into our dining and we're going to go through some of the different bits and pieces that are available. We're going to start off in the Diamond Horseshoe, which is a seasonal location, isn't always open, but is a great place to go if you can. We've already sort of mentioned Diamond Horseshoe a little bit before. We're just going to go over quickly the menu that's there. Things like barbecue turkey sandwiches, which right now sounds really good. Mm. They have the ham and Swiss sandwiches, tuna salad with croissant. I don't quite understand, but turkey Swiss sandwiches, things like that there. We've talked a little bit about that, so we're going to sort of move on. Right, so the first of the real restaurants within Liberty Square is the Liberty Tree Tavern, which has two very different menus depending on when you decide to go. Any of you guys eaten in Liberty Tree Tavern before?
Yes.
You have? Okay, yes. Cool. Right, we'll come back to you two in a second then. So we've got all sorts of bits and pieces, including crab and spinach dip for two, the tavern fried cheese. They have pot roasts, chicken pasta, sandwiches, chuck cheeseburgers, the ooey gooey toffee cake for dessert. I've heard very, very good things about vanilla cake with a gooey toffee filling and caramel sauce. Say no more. But if you go for the dinner there, then if you'd have gone last year, you'd have met characters as a character dining location. But as of the 5th of January, they got rid of those characters and it is now a platter style dinner. It's $29.99 for adults, $14.99 for children, served from 4 p.m. till around about park closing. And they have several things that you have on offer. A salad. They also have a platter of turkey breast, carved beef, smoked pork, mashed potatoes, vegetables, herb stuffing, and macaroni and cheese. So think sort of like a colonial version of the Whispering Canyon Cafe, that sort of idea that you get. Obviously drinks and things like that. You also get rolls and gravy included, which is a little bit different. And they have desserts of ice creams and fruit and all that sort of stuff as well as other fresh desserts. Now, you say you guys have eaten in Liberty Tree. Juz, have you eaten lunchtime or dinner?
It was dinner with characters at the time.
Okay, and what was food like?
Food was okay. Do you know what? It lacked something. I don't know if it was the atmosphere or what. I just felt... And we had great interaction with the characters. I think Chip and Dale were knocking out at the time, because I remember Chip stole my missus and Dale sort of faced up to me. very bizarre. I called him a little squirrel, at which point the handler came along and took him away.
Little squirrel. I love it.
Get out of my face, little squirrel, or something like that. Because, you know, I said it jokingly. I don't know. I just felt it should have been more. And I don't know what I can say to that. I just felt it was a bit empty on atmosphere. Food was okay, right, though. Okay. But it was just, you know, it's bizarre because, you know, colonial food. It was, to me, a Sunday dinner.
So I suppose it is Sunday roast. And you think about it, you've got your turkey breast, you've got your mashed potato, you've got your veg, you've got your stuffing. You're just missing your Yorkshires and you're there, aren't you?
Exactly.
Craig, when did you go, lunch or dinner?
I went for lunch, and actually I didn't remember until Deb's just walked in and I asked her, and she said, yeah, we did, because we did the Keys to the Kingdom tour and that's where they took you for lunch. So It was completely unmemorable was the lunch. I remember now having some sort of chowder thing, which wasn't particularly nice. I think the kind of the location of it is quite nice, and I think what they're trying to do with it is quite nice, but I just think it's more of a place for more kind of patriotic Americans than for us Brits, really.
Okay. What would you guys give it out of five?
I'm going to say a 3 out of 5, but it has the potential for being a 5 out of 5 if they use it better.
Right, okay. Craig?
I'd give it 3 out of 5 because the dessert's quite yummy.
Okay, fine. Nice.
Yummy.
They're quite yummy. He's all American. right, it's quite yummy. Okay, let's head over to Sleepy... It's a big marathon. Oh dear, don't even get me trying American accents. I'm rubbish at them. Even the kids at the school town, we don't try that, so it's really bad. Right, so Sleepy Hollow then, the Sleepy Hollow location within Liberty Square. You've got Mickey-shaped waffles and funnel cakes. Great place to go and enjoy those, including chicken and wild rice soup as well. The ice cream cookie sandwich. You know, the ice cream cookie sandwich, always think it's a great idea to start with until you bite into that cookie and the ice cream goes everywhere.
Oh, no. Lovely.
They are great, though. You get your cappuccino and root beer floats, the Liberty Swirl slush, and all sorts of ice creams and drinks there as well. Not a lot to say there, really, just your normal everyday sort of snack location. Same with your Liberty Square Market. Sells a lot of fruit and beverages there as well. But the other sort of counter service location within Liberty Square is that of the Columbia Harbour House. I have got to say, one of my favourite counter service restaurants in the whole of Magic Kingdom. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. It just seems to be. Not quite as much as Pecos Bill, but you've got in there things like the Lighthouse Sandwich. You've got the Anchor Away Sandwich, which is tuna and lettuce, things like that. The Chicken Breast Nuggets, which I think tastes really good. There's the Fried Fish Basket. There's the Shrimp Basket. There's salads in there. There's a BLT salad. I really enjoy the food in there. I think there's some really great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up eating there by mistake once, because not by mistake, but the kids were hungry and it was hot, and we just said, we're here, let's go in.
Yeah.
There's something for more to eat. I didn't think they catered more to the kids than the adults. You know, I had the shrimp when I was there, and that was amazing. But the kids had the chicken nuggets, and they were happy enough with that. Mm-hmm. But no, I found it by mistake, and I really enjoyed it.
Good. Craig, are you eating them there?
No, I haven't. I think we might have said on the last show, I don't get a look in. So it's either stupid Pinocchio's, or if I can twist their arm, I get to go to Pecos Bill's.
We can go tomorrow, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do. Yeah, I might do. Yeah, but if I go tomorrow, I'm going to go Pecos Bill's.
It's in the name of research, Craig.
Chart it to Adam's account.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, he's not paying for my university.
Yeah, when I'm stood there getting lifts into the... Yeah, car park. Anyway,
yeah.
I loved Columbia Harbour House. It's not quite as much as Pecos, so I don't think I can give it 5 out of 5, but I'm going to give it 4 out of 5, definitely. Just?
I'm going to give it 3 out of 5. It's nice, it's enjoyable, but, you know, I know exactly what happened. If I was with Craig, we'd end up Pecos.
Craig?
I'm going to abstain because I haven't been there.
Oh, because you haven't been there, so that's fine.
Market, yeah.
Okay, the accommodation within... the accommodation? What am I on about? The shopping? Where have I got accommodation? It's because the Harbour House. I was thinking
of hotels now.
We've got hotels, yes. You can sleep in the Haunted
Breaking
Mansion.
Breaking news.
Sleep in the Haunted Mansion. It's because it's so... all those buildings in there that make it look like there's residential places.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no idea. I was going with that one. Right, okay, shopping. Some interesting shops. One I think I really want to pick up on. You've got the Heritage House, which has a lot of the historical items, the American gifts, flags, T-shirts, all that sort of stuff in there. You've got the Liberty Square Portrait Gallery, which is has a location outside as well, which is where you can go and get those silhouette drawing, like, cut-out things done. You have the Yankee Trader, which has kitchenware and has those great Mickey pasta in there, and you got jams and all that sort of stuff in there. And the one shop that is so wrong, but yet you have to go in, which is the Ye Olde Christmas Shop, which is there all year round. You go in, it plays Christmas music, it has a whole Christmas theme to it, there's a whole story to that as well. You just have to go in there. Is it just me, or is everybody the same?
No, last time I was there, middle of summer, I bought my Stars and Stripes Mickey heads to go on the Christmas tree. I always try to get something from there to build up my Christmas decorations. Love it.
Yeah, I must admit, it's sort of one thing, a tradition that's become, whether we go to Disneyland Paris or we go to Walt Disney World, we have to buy something Christmassy for the Christmas tree for that year.
Mm-hmm.
So we always head in there. And although it's smaller than the the Christmas store in downtown Disney, I forget the name of off the top of my head, 12 Days of Christmas. I sort of prefer this one to the much larger 12 Days of Christmas store in downtown Disney.
I think it's quaint and it probably fits into the area.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's just, to me, better themed there. And that's the whole of Liberty Square. That must be record timing that we've done the entire Liberty Square. It's, like I say, it's such a small area, with it being there's a few rides and the dining and the shopping there as well. We thought we'd do it all in one go, which it leaves us free to move on to Fantasyland's ride, shows, and attraction on the next edition of the show.
Well, you didn't mention the fact that the Liberty Bell, did you, really?
Oh, well, there's the Liberty Bell there, which as is, well, yeah.
You're going to correct me here, because you should know this. It's is it the only one other than the original one that's been made from the template of the original Liberty Bell?
Exactly right. It is the only one made from the same cast as the original Liberty Bell, yes.
So I think that's quite important.
I think it is quite important. And you've got the Liberty Tree there as well, obviously by the tavern, which has got all the flags of the original 13 original colonies, is that right?
Which is why you've got 13 stripes.
There we go. So there are those bits there as well. And there's like a stocks that you can put your head and your arms in as well and have photo taken there.
Doesn't everyone do that?
I've got that one from when I was a kid, I think. There's a photo of me with that when I was little. But yeah, the Liberty Bell, I think that's one of the things that people don't quite understand. They go, oh, it's colonial America. We don't necessarily understand the history behind it. And thank you for bringing up the bell, because it's quite an important sort of part of historical America. And one of the reasons why, well, the reason why Liberty Square is there is because of the park being built during the bicentennial of America. And they obviously put that in there to celebrate that very fact.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, Craig, for a surprise visit.
Woohoo, Craig!
There you go.
Yay! And you can go back and go to the parks, or go and swim, or go and do whatever you're doing.
Is it still sunny where you are, Craig, and warm?
It's still warm. It's been about 80 today. A little bit overcast. It's current time is about 4:25, and we're just packing up for the evening. Kids are having a shower because we're going out to dinner.
Where are you going?
We're going to a new restaurant, actually, that's opened up. It's the only one in Orlando, so you can take this over to find Orlando. It's called the Santa Fe Catalan Ranch. It's a bit of a Tex-Mex place, but it looks really nice. It opened last October when we were here, and it's absolutely been chocker, apparently, every night. So we're going to go up there and have a bit of Tex-Mex tonight, nice burrito or something.
I might have a pack of Doritos, then.
It's 80 degrees here, you know. Only because I've got my
heat. Yeah, isn't Adam, you're lying.
I got my heat. Yes.
I love you and hate you, Craig, all in one thing.
Yeah, we all hate you. We all hate you. I won't hate you in August when I'm out there as well. But there you go. Okay, thank you guys for joining me.
Bye, Adam. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. That rounds up this edition of the show. We once again thank our sponsors at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. Visit them at attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks to Juz, and a nice surprise visit from Craig. Thanks to both of them for joining us on this edition of the show, as always. And make sure to email us your questions, your comments, and your suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. We've had a few emails from people who have given us their Disney Island discs, and we will be featuring those people on future editions of the show. So please do email those in. Anything at all to do with our Around the World segments, any news, any comments whatsoever, even the DIY stuff that we brought to you this episode. You can also ring our voicemail numbers. We've had several voicemails. You're going to hear them in a second. You can call us on 0121 288 2858 from if you're in Europe, and 407 545 7980. That's for both Iron Orlando and Disney Brit, those voicemails, so do give us a ring. You make sure to check out our website, www.disneybrit.com. Working very hard on that over there. And you can check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page and all the other bits and pieces on Facebook, as well as friending up myself, Juz, and Craig. Thank you for leaving us your reviews on iTunes. Please continue to do those. They really are helping people to decide whether it's the show they want to listen to. Find our YouTube channel still, our Disney Brit Podcast, over there. And also remember to check out our sister podcast of Eye on Orlando. We are revealing those once every week now. And also check out our new forum. Our forum is disneybrit.com/forum. So disneybrit.com/forum. And that's it. That's the end of the show. That leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be released on Wednesday, the 28th of April, the last show just before Mouse Meets. So until then, I'll see ya.
Hello, this is Alex from Hartlepool. I'm just saying we love your podcasts and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Jazz. Hi, Pod People. It's Craig and Co. We are today in the Magic Kingdom. And I just thought I'd give you a quick call. It took us about an hour from home to go to the park. It seems quite busy, actually, when you're kind of curious to get in. But we have just been on New Space Mountain. It's the first time we've been on it since it's reopened. And it was Kieran's first time as well. We were just 5.5. He was quite excited to go on it. And I must say, the interactive queue area is probably the best thing of the refurb. It's amazing. It seems to go on forever. There wasn't really much of a queue, so we didn't get a chance to really play it. We kind of just walked on this morning. But very, very good. It is pitch black now inside the ride. So that's a huge improvement. But what I don't really like about it is there doesn't seem to be that sort of kind of lighting effect with stars and moons that you, I think, seem to remember, or maybe I'm just used to seeing at Paris now or other ones. But it's like riding a black hole now. There is kind of very little light or light space inside. But great fun. The kids absolutely loved it. And also they've changed the TV screens on exit now, so they're nice colour ones. I can see myself as I'm talking to you walking at the ramp. So that is quite not that fitting, right? We're going to have another go and see if we can see it in the back. So I'll speak to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Julie from Burton on Trent, Staffordshire. Keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. It's Craig here. I just thought I would... I've just been on here again with everyone, and it's 8 minutes from calling you last time when I was getting off, going on again and getting off again. And I don't know if they're using energy-saving light bulb in the inside of it, because this time we actually went on SpaceX's left rather than right. And it was a lot better. There was a lot more detail I could see in the sky. And also I noticed the seats are far more comfortable now. They've got some better padding in. So I kind of retract what I said about the lights. It is still awesome. It is still a brilliant attraction, and it's a lot smoother. And I think now we're going on it for the third time in a row. But I need a week. So I'll speak to you all later. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name's Small World, a.k.a. Jeanette on Facebook. I've not ever done anything like this before, so I'm just saying hi because Adam's been asking for people to ring in. Huge Disney fans, not going to House of the Mouse this year because we're going on a cruise instead. Husband has decided we're going to do something different. However, we went to Alton Towers on Saturday and decided we really, really missed WDW, and are hoping to go back next year. So I'm just ringing to say hi. Listened to your podcast last week, really enjoyed it, and looking forward to the next one. Bye.